Our Father, as we look into your word, we behold Christ as he sees us in himself. He's glorified and we are edified. We receive truth concerning Christ Jesus that is found in the written word. We believe it and we walk in the light of it. There's clarity in our mind and in this atmosphere. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we began sharing on a topic yesterday, the gospel, understanding the gospel of Christ, series 2B. And we are looking at how the gospel, that is the Spirit, was ministered in the Old Testament.
So we are still surveying some things of the Old Testament.
So we are taking up from where we stopped in 2A. In 2A, we're still looking at the same thing. So just like a continuation. Hallelujah. But we say we're going to focus much more on the Spirit. Right? We said that yesterday. Hallelujah. So for those of us who were not around yesterday, I'm not going back home. Make sure you're around for meeting, believers' meetings. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. King James will say, and from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scriptures is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We said, Paul commended Timothy, right? And we saw that Timothy's cleverness is in his understanding of how scriptures are interpreted in the light of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we said that is how scriptures should be read. That is, read seeing salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, meaning when I look at the scriptures, I should see what? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And we saw yesterday that salvation is through faith. Hallelujah. Salvation is through faith. Hallelujah. So we say salvation is faith in the message of Christ. Right? Right? Or that was what we say. Salvation will be seen as faith in the message of Christ. Now, meaning in the words of the prophet, or all the words of the prophet were spoken in the light of God's work in Christ. Say the words of the prophet were spoken in the light of God's work in Christ. In verse 16 of that 2 Timothy, Paul will call it those words are inspired. Inspired by God. And we say those words inspired by God are the words where you find salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So, a prophet, listen, a prophet in the Greek is the word prophetes. Now, prophetes implies ones who, prophetes is for, is used for one who speaks inspired words. That's the word prophetes. Inspired speaking. So when you hear a prophet in the Old Testament is known by what they said concerning Christ. A prophet in the Old Testament will be known by what he or she said, what that person said concerning Christ. Do you understand? Hallelujah. That's who a prophet is. A prophet will be known in the Old Testament based on what he or she has said concerning Christ, or what he said concerning Christ. Because God will only inspire God's work. We said that during CRC, right? God inspires God's work, and God's work is salvation. God's work is salvation. Now look at Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Acts 10:43. We have a lot to cover, so we are going to be fast, very fast. Acts 10:43. Say to him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. What did the prophets witness? The witness about Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you see that? Look at from verse 42. He said, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all prophets witness. Woo! Jesus of Nazareth. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. And with power he went. Hallelujah. And with power he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the prophets in verse 43, witness concerning Christ. Did you see that? So the prophet will be known by what they said concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 14. Acts 3. Go back to Acts 3, verse 24. Peter is speaking here. Acts 3, verse 24. He said, yes, and all prophets from Samuel and those who followed, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. As many as also foretold, meaning they spoke about what is happening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what did he speak about? Look at verses 21 into 22. Say, whom heaven, okay, let's go to verse 20. And he sent Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of resurrection of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. Do you understand that? So the prophet must have their utterances concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Concerning Christ. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 2. Romans 1 verse 1 to 2. Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. What did he promise before? Verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Do you understand me? So, the prophet will speak. So, a prophet in the Old Testament is not somebody that comes to tell you about your problems. That comes to tell you the kind of shirt you wore yesterday and the one you were going to wear when you are about to die. No, the prophet is known by their utterances concerning Christ. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. This is why David, who is a king, in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verses 30, is called a prophet. Why? Because of his utterances about Christ. Look at Acts 2 verse 30. It says, therefore, let's look at verse 29 to 30. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you that the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, did you see that? Now, why would he call David a prophet? Let's see that. Being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of his fruit of his body, according to his flesh, he will raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He foresee he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ. Did you see that? So when he's here, the resurrection of the Christ, he's talking about what? The gospel, right? Hallelujah. That his soul is not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you see that? So David is called a prophet because of his utterances about Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in the Old Testament, you will know a prophet by their utterances concerning Christ. Look at Luke 24. Jesus. Luke 24 verse 25. He says, and all fools, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Now, he says, ought not the Christ to suffer these things? Look at verse 25. He said, Sloth had to believe in the utterances of the prophets, in the words of the prophets, right? He says, ought not the Christ, meaning in the utterances of the prophets, you will find Christ suffering and entering into his glory. So the utterances of the prophets will be concerning Christ suffering and him entering into his glory, which will mean, we've said this yesterday, I'll say it again, it will be a shorthand for his death, burial, and resurrection. Is the suffering and entering into his glory is a shorthand for Christ's work. Do you understand? Christ's work of redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this becomes a vital truth in the message of Christ. The suffering and entering into his glory, which is the death, burial, and resurrection, becomes the vital truth, a very important truth of the message of Christ. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I said I was not going to go over this, but we are doing it again. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 3 to 4. It says, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." What did Paul just do? He has given us a summary of the scriptures. Meaning, if you look at Genesis to Malachi, what you will find is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Are you with me? So if you look at the scriptures put together, what the prophet spoke in different places, if you put them together, you'll find the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So that's what Paul said. Because you will not get any scripture where he said Christ died according to the scriptures. You will not find it written anyway, but it is a summary of all what the prophet said. Meaning the prophet wrote about his death, burial, and resurrection. That is exactly what Jesus just showed us. Jesus just showed us that Luke showed us that in Luke 24, verse 25. That is what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Up not the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory. So, meaning in the words of the prophets put together, you will have what Paul said, his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, very important. Very important. If I put the whole Old Testament together, I will see the utterance of the prophet was concerning his death, burial, and resurrection. Was concerning Christ. John 5:39. It says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me, that you may have life." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not willing to come to that you may have life. Verse 45. Say, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you will believe before he wrote of me." Can you see this? So, meaning the scriptures is about Christ. 1 Peter 1:10. Chapter 1, verse 10, he said, I'll start from verse 9. He said, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul." Listen to him. He said, "Receiving the end of your faith." Let's start from verse 8. Let me go back to 8. Not, we'll get the whole gist. He says, verse 7. "That the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be to praise, honor, and glory, and revelation of Jesus Christ, whom have you not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believe in you, rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, that is the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophet, having inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating, when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow." Did you get that? "And the glory that would follow." Very important. So that means in the utterance of the prophets put together, you'll find Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That is what Peter just said now. The suffering and the glories that will follow. Which is what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get that? Glory to God. So that means if I go to the Old Testament, I will see events. We said this in the last series. I'm saying it again. I will see events. I will see storylines. But I would look. My mind will not be on those events. My mind will not. Or when I study, I will not study to see the events. You understand me? I will see Christ in the midst of that event. Do you get that? I will see Christ, because that is what Paul said to Timothy. He said, you are clever because why? In scriptures, you are able to see salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Meaning, when Timothy gets to Genesis, he will not be seeing moon, star, Adam and Eve, serpent, snake, everything. No, you will not be seeing that. You will not be seeing Ark of Noah and all those things. He will see salvation through faith in Christ Jesus in the mouth of the prophet. Do you understand me? He will not see my enemy shall fall and die. He will see salvation. Did you get that? Uh-huh. He will not see Samuel. Okay. Make me a good child like Samuel. Samuel, you will so be that, will be that, also respectful. You know, you will not see that. You see salvation. Did you get that? You see it in the light of salvation. You see the scripture in the light of salvation. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So when you get to Moses and you see the Red Sea parted, you will not see, wow, he started leaving Egypt. He said, wow, they left Egypt. It's a story. They went from Egypt to Canaan. Story. What a wonderful story. God is good, though. God led them. You know, he will lead you out of every problem in your life. Can you see where your problem is? Do you get that? You are concentrating on the event. You are not different from the Pharisees. I'm about to show you, so that's why I'm saying this. You will not be different from the Pharisees. That is wrong interpretation of scriptures. Like someone who met us, he was doing evangelism. I can't call that evangelism. I'll call that sharing of tracts. No, there are two different things. When you share tracts and when you do evangelism and when you invite. He's not evangelism. Don't mistake that. When you are sharing tracts, you just want, oh, God is good, just take tracts. Just take that. That is not evangelism. Are you hearing me? It's not evangelism. You stand, you open Bible, you teach. That's evangelism. The other one is tract sharing. Don't confuse it. I don't confuse evangelism to inviting people to your church. It's not evangelism. You only invited. Did you get that? Say, you invited somebody to church. Say, I am doing evangelism. You are not evangel anything. Do you understand me? Aha. So he was sharing the tract. He now got to where your pastors are, including myself. I now gave a tract. You know, even a tract, that is an invitation poster. And I said, you know, come and find. He said some things along some certain line. And I said, you know, there's a friend that's ticket closer than a brother. And he's saying that, you know what he introduces? He now introduced his wife as the friend that's ticket closer than a brother. Problem. Do you understand? We're going to see something shortly today. So that is why you see, listen, as a Bible student, and that is what we are being trained to become or to do better, to understand Bible interpretation. A scripture will not mean today what it never meant when it was written. A scripture will not mean tomorrow what it never meant today and when it was written. So do not get to the scripture and want to see something out of the blues. When I read my Bible each day, I will ask myself three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What is God saying to me? I will ask the Holy Spirit, who lives in my heart, to show me the answers clearly. Fine. But what is the Spirit's place in interpretation, Bible interpretation? The Spirit's place in Bible interpretation is reading it again. Reading it in context. Are you hearing me? Say, you know now, the scripture today can mean what you never meant yesterday. I can find something unique today.
It's wrong, oh. Can you hear me?
Glory to God.
Can't I personalize it? No. Read it. Understand it. All your exams will be right. How many of them have you personalized and passed? Personalize it and pass now. When they ask you 2 plus 2, go and put 4 naira. Say, I personalize it to naira. You fail. You don't know. Try it one day. They ask you 10 naira plus 10 naira. You don't put $20. It's not the same, oh. Hope you know that. Say, I want to partner. I believe in dollar. The Lord, my God, is a God of, you know, Jehovah money come. I need it in dollar. Write it and fail. Do you understand that? So the scripture is not for private interpretation. Read it well and understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that Luke 24. I'm about to say something. That is why we went this route. Luke 24. I have a lot to cover. Luke 24, verse 26. He says, verse 27, and beginning at Moses. I'll talk about verse 25 again. Say, all fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that spoke. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory? And begin at Moses and all the prophets, expounding unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So for Jesus to be seen as the Christ, listen to. For Jesus to be called the Christ, or for him to be the Christ, he must also explain the scriptures in the light of the Christ. Do you understand? He too must explain the scripture in the light of the Christ. So he went through Genesis to Malachi and he taught this as concerning himself. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So if he had explained scriptures otherwise, he will not be different from the Pharisees. You know, that is why they marveled at him. Hallelujah. And he told his disciples, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees. Right? Aha. Glory to God. Now he uses the word expound. That's the word diamineo. Diamineo is gotten from two words, dia and hemaneo. The word dia, we already know, it means to go through. Hemaneo implies to translate what has been said, or what has been spoken, or what has been written. To translate what has been said or written. You find that reference in John 1 verse 42. John 1 42. It says, and they brought him to Jesus, and when he looked at him, he said, you are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas. You shall be called Cephas. Then there's a, how do they call this thing? John put something, which is translated a stone. That word translated is the word hemaneo. Do you understand me? Uh-huh. Which is interpreted a stone. Now that interpreted or translated is called hemaneo. Hallelujah. Like when they called him rabbi in verse 38, say, which is interpreted what? Teacher. Do you understand? So that is the word to interpret what is said or written. From that word hemaneo, you have a word, or it's from the word hemenes or hemis. I've been practicing to call that name for a while. A word you find in Romans 16, and also Paul was called that, being a chief speaker. So the word implies to interpret words and language. Do you understand me? So diamineo, what Luke is writing is that Jesus went through the scriptures and interpreted the scriptures, which will also include the languages of the prophets. So when Jesus went through the scriptures interpreting Genesis to Malachi concerning himself, he also interpreted the words of the prophet. Do you understand me? Uh-huh.
So why would he interpret the words of the prophet? Let's see something. Because the prophet, just like Jesus will do, will always, or we, the prophet, just like Jesus, will always introduce parable when they are teaching. They will introduce parables when they are teaching concerning Christ's work. The prophet, just like Jesus, will introduce parables when they are teaching, or when they are talking, speaking concerning Christ's work. Let's look at this. Matthew 13:13. Matthew 13:13. It says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which is, hearing you will hear and not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, that I should heal them. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he turned to his disciples and said, but blessed are you, for your eyes see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So very important. So Jesus will introduce a parable. Now when he says this, he says, look at that verse 30 again. He says, because the reason for parables is because they do not see and hear and do not understand. That is a shorthand for unbelief. Do you understand me? So Jesus is describing why parables are used. Parables are used most times, or mostly, for unbelief. It's used for, listen, Jesus introduced parables because of their unbelief. You find Jesus, this word here is actually from Psalm 78 verse 2. A psalm of Asaph. Asaph is one of David's chief singers. Do you know what I mean? Lead singers. He's the one that, if you read 1 Chronicles chapter 16, David would give him psalm to sing. Do you understand me? Uh-huh. So, Psalm 72, look at verse 2. 78, sorry, I said 72. 78, verse 2. Let's start from verse 1. He said, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in dark sayings. New King James will call it parables. In dark sayings, I will open my mouth in what? In what? Okay. Old King James will call it what? Parables. Okay. I'll open my mouth in parables. I thought it's dark sayings. I'll utter the dark sayings of old. Hallelujah. I will alter the dark sayings of old. So he calls it parable, which in the Greek is called parabole. Parabole. P-A-R-A-B-O-L-E. In the Hebrew, it's called chida. C-H-I-Y-D-A-H in Hebrew. Chida. So is the word that means redo in Hebrew. Redo. I'll open my mouth in redo. In redo. Parabole is from two words in the Greek. Para and balo, where you have hyperbalo from. Para. When you hear the word para, it's not para in Yoruba. Para means beside or alongside. Do you understand me? Para means alongside or beside. Now, balo, B-A-L-L-O, balo is a compound word, like I said, parabole. Balo is the word that implies to cast. Do you understand? To throw, to cast. Do you understand me? So when you hear the word parable, it means to cast alongside. Do you understand me? To cast alongside, to throw alongside. That is to say, listen and listen good. Parables are, when you hear to throw alongside, it means parables are to shed light
Do you understand me? For example, I'm saying something and I now throw alongside a story. Did you get that? Aha. The story might not be 100%, in fact, cannot be 100% descriptive of what I'm talking about. But the story is to shed light on what I've said. Do you understand me? So, parables are used to explain. Used to explain what is being discussed. That is, I have it in my notes as this. It implies to leave what is being discussed and to use something else different from what is being discussed to shed light on what is being discussed. Do you understand? Hallelujah, and fast. So, parabole means what is cast alongside with what is being said. To explain. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, from Matthew 13:13, we've seen that it's now right for us to see that parables or dark sayings are used because of unbelief. Do you understand me? They're introduced because of what? Unbelief. In Matthew 19:8, Jesus will say, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. That is a word for unbelief. Do you understand me? Because of the hardness of your heart. Suffered you to put away your wives. Now, but say, but from the beginning it was not so. So, meaning that was allowed because of their hardness of heart. That is unbelief. So, the parables are used for what? To explain, to shed light on what is being said. It is not the real thing. So, to stay on a parable is to stay on the wrong thing. Parable is not the real thing. So, what do you do with parable? Get what he's trying to explain. So, you don't treat the parable. I'm going to use a word now, but I need you to understand that. Now, you said you have to now introduce a parable. I cannot. Now, you don't use a parable. When you see a parable, you don't treat a parable like an exegesis. There's no exegesis in a parable. You just look at what is explained. Meaning, if within the parable, within the context of the parable, you will find what he is explaining there. Do you understand? Let's look at Luke 18, verse 1. Now, this is not part of what I wanted to say, but I studied it while preparing for the message. Luke 18, 1. Now, look at what he said. Now, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. So, the parable he spoke to them was concerning what? Men ought always to pray. So, what do you need in a parable? What is for? So, you don't start saying the stone represents this. Leave it. Look at the explanation where it's going to. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I guess by next year we'll have this topic like that along that line, parables. So that you understand it better. Do you understand? So we'll look at the parables of Christ all together. Look at the parables of Christ. We'll look at what the parables is all about. Do you understand me? Aha. So parables is very important. You know how to see parables. Don't start drawing exegesis. The 12 virgins, the 5 foolish represent. Oh God, calm down. What is it for? Look at what he was saying before. Do you understand me? Yeah, you know what the parable is for. And what you need there is to pick the explanation. What he's talking about, and you move ahead. Do you understand? Don't draw up exegesis. No one say, when you see virgins, he talks about those who have not defied themselves. When you see virgins, he talks about, oh God, what do you need that for? I bet someone said they're virgins. When you hear virgins, talk about those who have not corrupted themselves. That is those who are blameless, upright. Oh God, calm down. Give us the milk, cocoa. Let's move ahead. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it will be useless trying to draw out an exegesis from it. Do you understand that?
Uh-huh.
So a good Bible student will see the explanation and understand what is being described. That is what it is for. If you understand what the parable is, then the book of, according to Pastor Shego, you understand the book of Proverbs will not be a problem for you. Do you understand? The book of Proverbs will not be a problem for you because the book of Proverbs is a book of Proverbs parables. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
So you just know how it's being used. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Okay. So we said that faith, let's look at this. We said that faith in the Old Testament will be faith or belief in God's promise of Jesus Christ. Right? We say faith in the Old Testament will be faith, their faith in God's promise of Jesus Christ. Right? So their faith is in hope of the promise. We said that yesterday, right? Okay. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 2 quickly. We're looking at their faith, right? Uh-huh. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 to 4. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Do you see that? Before we go ahead, let's cast our mind back to series 2a. We said that the epistles are explanations of the Old Testament writings, right? Right? We said that in 2a, the epistles are explanation of the Old Testament writing. So we will have in the background of the epistles the Old Testament. Right? Right? We'll have in the background of the epistles the Old Testament writing. At this, we'll have in the background of the epistles the Old Testament writings and the four gospels. We will need that for subsequent week. And also, at this also, you will have in the foreground of the Old Testament the epistles and the four gospels. You have in the foreground, meaning when they wrote, when the prophets wrote, remember they wrote in hope of what Christ will do, right? Of what God will do in Christ. So the epistles and the four gospels will be the foreground. Are you following me?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now we are in Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is giving an utterance. And he says here in the utterance, he said, the vision is yet for an appointed time. For at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You know, unlike... So, you know, when some people look at this, they'll say, vision! What is your vision? What's your vision for 2019? You now write it and now bring it to the altar. Eh? Now bring it to the altar and now drop. I want promotion. I want this. I want that. No, we used to do it then. It's only one that will come to pass. You say, we'll now do carry over our vision to the next year. Hallelujah. I remember my dad there, because I was looking for promotion from W. I've been in W since 1995, and it was 2004. The man needs to move up to MW. So he did Vision 22. Some months back, I still saw some of those vision paper. You know how serious it is? You don't photocopy it. Have one inside your Bible. One will not be on there. In the holies of holies, inside a basin. Hallelujah. So he wrote that he got the promotion 2005 or 2006. He got promoted, but he wrote that vision 2001 to 2002, 2003 to 2004, 2005. In fact, I remember there was a time and said, he asked me a question, and me in my zeal, I didn't want to discover. I said,
Me, I know in 2004 I stopped. Those vision 2004, I stopped. Then they started tagging me rebel. And you know one thing? If my dad wants to run away from doing something, he will not ask me. When he says I'm not doing it. You understand? Like few days ago, he called me. He said, I want to play tag. He mentioned it because he knows. He knows my stand about it. Listen. So, and I guess he's been disturbed to pay. He's been disturbed. Like, you know how we could be.
Jonathan. So they were coming after him.
So you know, while we were talking, that mentioned it and I smiled. I said, what do you think? Glory to God. So something, I will not tell you what I told him. So something similar was what he did then. And I said, this promotion, why they write? Last year vision, they did this vision, I won't put that. I call that. Me, I know they write though. I didn't like that. I said, okay. So make me to know that. Like, I said, no deal.
Do you understand? And that was the year he now got it. And you know the funny thing? He did not write. Do you understand? Well, now many people have thought that vision is, where do you want to be in the next 5 years? I know. Years back, not in the year 2010 or there, but years back, I ministered somewhere. I guess it should be a youth fellowship. And I ministered and I spoke about vision. I said, you cannot be a Christian and cannot find yourself. Where would you want to be as a Christian in the next 10 years? Very funny, right? Very funny. Sometimes I think about it, I'll just be laughing. As a believer! And I had the people I was going after. Trust me, I was going after some percentage. I tagged them in the 1990s brethren. So they had them plenty there in the youth fellowship. So I was, as a believer, where do you want to be? You've been born again for years, you are not speaking in tongues. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? As a believer. What do you want to be doing for the Lord? As a believer. Even Habakkuk said, the vision is on appointed time. So you have to get the vision now. Imagine you are in that congregation. You begin to repent. Oh Lord, I want to be preaching you gospel. Oh Lord, where's the vision? So funny. But you know, Habakkuk, when he spoke about the vision, if you look at it critically, he is referring to a person. He's referring to a person. Habakkuk is writing about God's work. And once it is God's work, listen, once it's God's work, it's going to be about salvation. Let's read it to verse 4. Say, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Look at from verse 1. So that you understand what we're talking about. He says, so that you know that it's God's work. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see that he will say to me and see what he will say to me. And I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision. So if the Lord is saying write the vision, I'm about to say something. I will say something shortly today. When God speaks, he speaks in the light of his son. Are you hearing me? Once it is the message of God, take note of what I say. Once it is the message from God, it will be in the light of his son. God will inspire God's work. Do you understand that? So, now he now says, write the vision. Remember, I will say, the Old Testament is written or have in its foreground the what? The epistles. Right? Meaning if I want to understand this, I have to go to the epistles to see what the vision is. Do you understand that? I must not get a self-aggrandized interpretation of the scriptures. No.
I must see it in the light of the epistles, right?
We said that in the last series. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I mean chapter 10. First, Hebrews 10. Before we see what Paul said too. Hebrews 10. Verse 36. It says, I was talking about 35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What is he talking about? The promise, right? Look at, and what is the will of God? We're going to see that. So that after you've done, what does it mean by after you've done the will of God? We're about to see that. Say, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come. He will not tarry. That is explaining what? Habakkuk. So, meaning when he quoted that in verse 37, it was about the promise. And the promise is about what? Is concerning Christ's resurrection. Was that not what we said yesterday? The promise is concerning Christ's resurrection. Right? Right? That we said the resurrection is the hallmark. Okay, I want you to get this. The fact of the gospel, we have his death, his burial, and his resurrection, right? And I said the gospel is in the resurrection, right? We'll find the gospel is found in the resurrection. Why did I say that? I discovered that I didn't mention it yesterday. I'm going to say it today. I said that because the resurrection, without the resurrection, the death of Christ would just have been the death of any martyr. Without the resurrection, this incarnation is nothing. So, his incarnation is special. His death is special because of the resurrection. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. So, we'll find his death and his incarnation as special by reason of, or because of what? His resurrection. So, it is the resurrection that makes it special. So, that is why Paul will now write in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 15, verse 14, that if Christ had not risen, do you understand me? Our faith is vain. It's futile. Our belief is nonsense. The death doesn't make sense. If Christ had not risen, every other person died. Do you understand me? But if Christ had not risen, our faith is void. Hallelujah. So, did you get that? Do you get that? Glory to God. So, back to Hebrews 10, 36. So, when he says in verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That is the vision in Habakkuk, right? That vision is a he. That vision is concerning the promise. That's what we are seeing. Hallelujah. So the vision in Habakkuk 2 verse 3 is not the vision of 2020. No, it is concerning Christ. What's concerning Christ? So in answer verse 8, now the just shall live by faith. What is that faith? Faith in what God said he would do in Christ. Hallelujah. So that would be, faith in the promise of God. Faith as a hope in the promise. Did you get that? So that's why I say the just. When he talks about the just, he's referring to what? Those who believe them. In the Old Testament, he said they shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then in chapter 11 verse 1, he now said, now this faith. Now remember he said the just shall live by faith. Now this faith is the subject of this hope for. Do you understand me? Did you get that? So this faith is the subject of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So what he's describing here is faith in the Old Testament. A substance of things they hope for. What do they hope for? Hope for the promise. Hope for Christ. Do you understand me? Hope for what God said he would do. So yesterday we saw it as what? Hope for, they hoped in God's faithfulness. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So, Hebrews 11:1 will be what their faith was for. It was a hope for. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, their faith will be in God's faithfulness as a promise. Let's move ahead. So we said yesterday, let's get this question. We said yesterday that faith was available. Salvation was available in the Old Testament, but it was not possible, right? And we saw it, that salvation being available was because of the gospel preached, but not possible because Christ has not arisen, right? So let's see something. So since salvation was impossible, even if available, so what happened to the man who believes in the Old Testament? What happens to that man who believes? Now we see, we've been able to clarify that Christ was preached in the Old Testament, right? The gospel was preached in the mouth of the prophet, right? So what happened to the man who believes? Because if salvation was not possible, though available, it means no one of them was saved in the Old Testament. Are you hearing me? Uh-huh. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans 1. Romans 1 to 4. He said, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So we said the gospel is in the resurrection of Christ. And since the gospel was preached, salvation was available. Right? Was available, but it was not possible because Christ had not resurrected then. Okay, look at chapter 15 of that same Romans. Chapter 15. Verse 7 into 8. He said, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus had become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Jesus became a servant. Right? Right? Are you following us? Became a servant. That is the word minister. Became a minister to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the Father. That word, to confirm. Now, listen. Jesus. I'm looking for a way to say it in such a manner that you'll be able to understand. But I know it's part of what we explained during the promised land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to say it. Okay, it's inside here. It's here. So let's look at that word. Jesus, from what Paul is saying, is that Jesus confirmed the promises made to the fathers, right? Now let's look at that word confirm. That word confirm is from the Greek word bibao. Bibao. B-E-B-A-I-O-O. Bibao. Is a word that implies to bring to pass or to establish. To bring to pass or to establish. You find the word in Mark 16:20. Mark 16 verse 20. Mark 16:20 said, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of what? Signs, amen. Now there is the word confirming. Confirming the word. Do you understand me? Confirming the word. So the versions will put establishing the word, right? Right? Hallelujah. So that's the word to establish. You find it also in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1, 6, 20. Colossians 2, 7. Hebrews 2, 3, 13, 9. I take it again. Mark 16, 20. 1 Corinthians 1, 6, 1, 20. Colossians 2, 7. Hebrews 2, 3. Hebrews 13, 9. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying it is the resurrection. It is the resurrection that comes the establishment. That is bringing to pass the promise of God. It is the resurrection that does what? That brings to pass the promise of God. So when I read in the Old Testament concerning the promise of God, I must see it in the resurrection being fulfilled. Do you understand that? So when I read in the Old Testament the promise of God, I see it being fulfilled in the what? In the resurrection of Christ. So it's no more. So a believer today must not be found singing, "He has promised he will never fail me." Do you understand? I will follow him. No. He has fulfilled his promise in Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Let's move up one bit. A bit ahead. Let's go a bit ahead. So therefore we can say salvation becomes possible at the resurrection. Salvation becomes possible at the resurrection. Because that was what they were hoping for. Now, at the resurrection becomes the establishment of that promises. It came to pass, right? So that saving ability. Oh no. Let me not use saving ability. That's wrong. The resurrection. Now, because the promise has been fulfilled in the resurrection, then man can now be saved because of the resurrection. So the resurrection brings to pass salvation. So salvation becomes possible at the resurrection. Can you hear me from the back there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you cannot have salvation outside the resurrection. What you just have will just be a story. Tales by moonlight. That's all you have. Somebody came. He did good. He did fine. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. But he died. What happened after he died? He just died. He was a good man, no? And he just died. And went like that. He just died. If Jesus hadn't risen, we should be looking for another Messiah. Hallelujah. But his resurrection makes his death special. His resurrection made salvation, made Calvary special. His resurrection made the cross special. His resurrection made his incarnation special. Are you with me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17. I'll start from verse 16 into 17. It says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." Hallelujah.
Amen.
For everyone who believes, for the Jews first and for the Greek. So when you hear, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," it has in it, that word, the gospel of Christ has in its component the fact of the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. Right? Right? Okay, verse 17. "For in it," in what? In the preaching of the gospel, Caruso, in the preaching of the gospel, in the announcement of the gospel, he said the power of God is what? He said, sorry, for in the preaching of the gospel, the power of God to save a man is available, right? Now, he now said, for in that preaching, the righteousness of God is what? Is revealed from faith to faith. He didn't say from one level of faith. No. From faith to faith. When he talks about faith to faith, it means faith in the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He now says, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk. So when he said the just shall live by faith, he brings in Habakkuk again. And he makes you know that the faith he's talking about in Habakkuk is faith in the gospel. Did you see that? He makes you know that the faith he's talking about in Habakkuk is faith in the gospel. Close that up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. So, what Paul is saying is that the preaching of the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. So the man who believes the gospel preached in the Old Testament is accounted as being righteous. For he believes, remember, his belief is in God's faithfulness. So he's called righteous. He's called the just. Hallelujah. He's called the just. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, let's see Abraham. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 3 of Romans. And then, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So, when he said Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness, take note. We have said earlier that faith in the Old Testament, faith in the New Testament will be faith in the gospel preached, right? Will be faith in the gospel when preached. Now, he now said, listen, when he said Abraham believed God and was accounted for him for righteousness, it means that Abraham believing God will mean Abraham believed in the gospel of Christ preached. Because we've seen that it is in the gospel that righteousness is revealed. Right? Now, if Abraham was accounted for being righteous, it then means Abraham believed in the gospel of Christ. We're about to see it shortly. Hallelujah. That means the gospel was ministered to Abraham. And Abraham believed it and was counted as being righteous. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Quickly, Galatians. Galatians 3, 8. Galatians 3, verse 8. He says, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Did you see that? The scripture foresee that God will justify the Gentiles through faith, preached the gospel. So, when you see God speaking to Abraham in the Old Testament, it is God preaching the gospel to Abraham. Do you understand me? Is the gospel being preached to Abraham? So that means, remember, God will inspire God's work. So when you see God speak to Abraham, it is the gospel being ministered to Abraham. Are you hearing me?
Yes,
sir. Okay. We're going to see this very shortly. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Verse studying. Genesis 15 from verse 5 into 6. Then he brought him outside and said, look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted for him to him for righteousness. So, and he believed in the Lord.
And remember, that belief will be faith in the gospel preached, right? So that means whatever thing God told Abraham in verse 5 into 6 will be the gospel. Look at chapter 12. So when he told him, count the stars, listen, or when he told him, count the stars, if you're able to number them, he was not talking about material prosperity, no. Do you understand me? He was talking about the gospel, about Christ. And in the last series, we spoke about this, right? We said it should be seen in what? Christ's work, right? Aha. That the word for descendant of seed is the word Zerah. And the word Zerah implies a result of a work done. So, what God was communicating to Abraham was not Isaac. Was telling him the result of what? Salvation. And where would you get that? Matthew 28. Do you understand me? Aha. In Galatians, I say Galatians. In the book of Galatians, you find that he speaks, when he talks about the seed, was not referring to what? Isaac, as of the flesh. No. No. Hallelujah. I say we are, he calls us, right? Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He speaks of the seed as unto Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So very important. Very, very important. So what he was talking about, he was not talking about Isaac. I'll give you an Isaac. No. Hallelujah. He's talking about the new creation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's talking about the new creation. Glory to God. Look at chapter 12. Chapter 12. From verse 1. He said, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. When God spoke to Abraham like this, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, he was not referring to material possession. No. No. If you look at it for material possession, you will lose it. Do you understand me? You will lose it. We're not referring to material possession at all. What God was communicating to Abraham will be what? Salvation. Will be concerning Christ. Remember, God will inspire God's work. Did you get that? So this is how to interpret scriptures. God is not telling Abraham something. Remember, the Bible says Abraham believed God. So that means Abraham understood the communication. Are you hearing me? Abraham understood well the communication. If he didn't understand the communication, he wouldn't have believed. Do you understand? Let's look at that word blessed. Okay, before we look at the word blessed, let's take a look at one or two other things before we begin to round up. We are a bit far, but let's look at one or two things. So God's communication in scriptures, like I said, will be in the light of his work. God's communication in scriptures will be in the light of his work. And his work is salvation. Look at Genesis 1:26. We are coming down to Abraham again. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26, he says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. When you read this and you think he's talking about, let's make Adam and Eve. No. What he's talking about here, I've explained it time without number, that he's talking about what? Salvation. This is salvation. If
you've been following teachings, you understand, you will not get lost now. Let us make man in our image. Now, what is the image of God? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who is the image of God? Christ is the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Christ is the image of God. So when he says, let's make man in our image, what is God's plan for man to be in Christ? So that is the talk of salvation. Man in Christ. So God's communication will be what? In the light of his work, which is what salvation. Did you get that? Aha. Uh-huh. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. We'll still look at all these things subsequently. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 18, rather. And the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. He said, ah! Verse 19. Okay, now let's stop at that 18. I will make him a helpmeet. When he talks about the helpmeet, he's not talking about Eve. He's not talking about the wife. Look at chapter 1, verse 26 again. Look at 27. They say God created them how? Male and female. So automatically, in chapter 1, verse 26, you find that God's plan for man, both male and female, do you understand me? Was to be where? In Christ. Did you get that? So there is already a female in chapter 1, verse 26. Are you understanding me? So when he now says in chapter 2, we now saw only one man. It shows you that the man is, you know, God is talking about two men here, two Adam. I need you to get that. Do you get that? They're talking about two Adam here. Now in chapter 1, he has just spoken that let us make man in our image. Is there, listen, I say, then he now said we made them male and female, right? Now listen to that very well. Let us make man in our image. He was talking about what? Redemption. Right? Now in chapter 2, we found only Adam. And he says it's not good for man to be alone. When he says for man to be alone, he's not talking about a woman. Get that right. You remember, we just said at the beginning of this class that you do not read it what? Literally. You have to see it in the light of salvation. Right? So when he said it's not good for a man to be alone, he's not talking about a woman. So for men that thinks their life is incomplete without a woman, you see yourself, a woman that believes that she is the rib of another man. Look at your life. Did your mother form you from a rib? Say, I want to find my better half. I've never said that word in my life. Better half, where? My wife is not my better half, oh. You have to know that before you begin to cook yourself up as somebody's better half. So the man is incomplete. But we say we are complete in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So does it mean the man is incomplete? I am somebody's better half. Stay there. It's just so funny. Eh? So when he talks about it's not good for a man to be alone, he's not talking about a woman. He's still reiterating what? The Genesis 1:26. Man in Christ. Now he says, I will make him a helpmate, a helper. A helper is not the woman, it's not the one that will wash the plates and the clothes. No! No! Change that mindset. If you are still doing that, you're not different from the Pharisees that came to meet him and say, why did Moses suffer us to give a bill of divorcement? Because that's how they read scriptures. And Jesus referred them back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Did you understand that? Aha. God made them male and female. That was what he told them in Matthew chapter 19. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So when he says for a helpmeet, that word helpmeet is from the Greek word Iza. Izeia, Iza. The word Iza is used several times in the Old Testament. And you know the funny thing? It's used for God. The word Iza is used for God. Never was it used for a woman. Help meet. As if a thief comes to the house, it's a woman that will stand. Help meet. Eh? When there's a strange noise in the compound, it's a woman that will stand. No. Before you know, they've locked themselves inside the toilet and leave you in the sitting room. You are standing all alone. Is that one help meet? Eh? So don't worry, I'm inside the toilet, I'm just sticking in terms of you. Is that help meet? No, that's not help meet. Now it's used for Jesus, it's used for God. Exodus chapter 18. Quickly, let's rush down to Exodus 18, verse 4. Exodus 18, 4. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for he said, the God my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. That's the word Eliezer. The God my father was my help, or is my help. Do you understand me? Who is the help? God. Right? Deuteronomy 33:7.